Dr. David Kent, welcome to the Dr. Kent Show. I come on every Sunday at 9 in the morning. Appreciate you listening in. I'm a psychiatrist by trade. If those of you who don't know what a psychiatrist is, it's someone with a medical degree or an MD degree and does 4 more years of specialty training. I've been practicing in the Boise area since 1990, all in private practice. I've been able to see patients in the inpatient setting, where people are hospitalized, as well as in my office. So I've really pretty much seen everything in this community. I focus a lot on topics related to mental health, especially depression, because it's such a common disorder and affects really all families and just about everybody. The rate of depression is extremely high. Depression comes in many forms, of course. People may experience a negative life experience and feel depressed. But there's also people with recurring biological illness where it's more settled in. And there's no clear reason, there's no clear event that seems to happen that triggers this depression. And people that can often experience very persistent depression. And those who experience a recurrent depression or persistent depression, in the medical world, that's classified as major depressive disorder recurrent, so or MDD. And it may be classified as either mild or moderate or severe. And researchers, when they use these criteria for diagnosing depression, have discovered that about 16% of the population will experience a depression in their lifetime or experience major depressive disorder, which I've been talking about. Symptoms of major depressive disorder include low mood or irritable mood, feelings of sadness, loss of energy, loss of interest, sometimes confusion and memory loss, appetite changes and weight fluctuations, feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, guilt, anxiety. Also, it's to make note of it, people with depression often will go to a family doctor complaining of physical symptoms which have no clear explanation. In fact, 50% of depressions will present to a family doctor with a physical complaint. So there's lots of ways that depression can present itself. A lot of people can be depressed and not even know it, and they may just be used to it. So sometimes having an awareness of what depression is really important. You can also visit my website at treasurevalleytms.com. I have a lot of information on there about depression, about various treatments. I write articles. All of my radio shows are posted on my website. And I also have videos answering questions and describing things on my website. So feel free to go to my website, ask questions, post experiences. I have a Facebook page, and that's Treasure Valley TMS. So go to my Facebook page. I have daily posts and updates and announcements and things like that. And I also quote statistics about depression and mental illness and things like that. I have a quote for you. Depression is living in a body that fights to survive with a mind that tries to die. I thought that was pretty accurate. Another quote about depression: depression is like having an abusive relationship with yourself. So one thing that happens with depression that I like to speak to a little bit is the concept of losing hope or hopelessness. When people have a depression that settles in, they start to feel hopeless. They start to feel like life isn't worth living, or what is the point? Why do I keep living? And one of the big predictors of suicide is a preceding feeling of hopelessness. People who suffer from recurrent chronic depression eventually will succumb to a sense that life is just hopeless, and they begin to question the meaning of life in contemplating ending the misery that they're experiencing. And hope itself is awesome when we have it in abundance, but when it's lacking, it's very agonizing. When I interview people with depression, one of the key questions is, are they experiencing hopelessness? It's really important for me to know that. Hopelessness can occur at any point in the depression. But when people start responding to medications or treatment, it becomes even more discouraging and heightens this emotion of hopelessness. And so one of the critical things is to provide people with hope that really there is a solution, that depressions can be treated. Even people who've had decades of depression, those depressions can be successfully treated. Another quote, "We need hope or else we cannot endure." But there are effective treatment options for depression. There's, of course, medications, which have been around for a long time. I've been a practitioner since the 1980s, and I've learned all the different medications used for depression. Back in the olden days, we used what we called tricyclic antidepressants, medicines such as Elavil or amitriptyline. And we still use some of those medicines today. They still have value. They still can be useful. But along the way, in 1988, Prozac came out. 1990, Paxil came out. And around 1992, Zoloft came out. And we've had a slew of new medications come out to treat depression. And they've all had a place, and they all can be beneficial. The problem is that only 55% of people who have depression will respond to medication. And that's with the first medication. On the second medication, it drops by 50%, the response rate. So the chances of responding to a second medicine drop to about 25 to 30%. And then the next medicine drops another 50%. So if you're someone out there who's tried multiple medications, the chances of responding to the next medication go down considerably, and to the point where there's a likelihood of responding are pretty low. There's psychotherapy, and there's lots of psychotherapies. In fact, there's thousands of psychotherapies that have been described, but there's some that have been more tested and studied for depression. There's cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. There's interpersonal psychotherapy and various group therapies. And these have also been found to be helpful and successful for depression, especially in combination with medication. Well, along came another form of treatment called TMS or deep TMS. I use deep TMS. But TMS was actually discovered in the 1980s by a researcher, or actually by a physicist in England, and then by Dr. Mark George, an American researcher who is double boarded in neurology and psychiatry. He grabbed onto that technology and started studying it for depression. In 1993 was the first definitive study showing that TMS was truly effective for depression. It wasn't until 2008 that the FDA approved TMS for treatment of depression. So there was a lot of time that went on, but also a lot of research that went with this. So that's not a bad thing. We want to really have a lot of research behind something, especially a new technology. If you're just tuning in right now, I'm Dr. David Kent. I have a weekly show devoted to deep TMS and depression and mental health topics, and I bring special guests onto my show. I'm today going to bring on my show a whole family, and they're going to be fun to listen to. They have been through a lot of depression, and you got to hear their experience, but also hear their triumphs and their success.
Welcome back to my show.
I'll be back. This is Dr. David Kent. I'm a local area psychiatrist, been practicing in Boise for a long time. I've been doing the show for a while now. It's devoted really to topics related to mental illness and mental health. I've had the opportunity to bring many different people on my show, guest speakers, as well as actual patients in the community that have experienced problems with depression and other illnesses, sort of share their experiences and talk a little bit about what they've been through. For me, it's important to kind of relate to the community and bring the community in here and make it a real local show. So I'm going to talk about a lot of different things. I'm also going to try to bring in a little bit of news along the way, and I've got a little news spot for today. I noticed in today's Statesman, the Idaho Statesman, that there was a topic called mental holds peak in Canyon County. If you're not familiar with an involuntary mental hold, that's where people can be brought into a psychiatric facility on a mental hold, basically against their will, involuntarily, and there's Idaho code and statute that allow for that. And all states have similar statutes and codes. And it's where, in certain circumstances, if someone's a danger to themselves or potentially a danger to somebody else, and they have considered to have some sort of mental illness, they can be put into a hospital. There's other circumstances where people can be what we call gravely disabled. And that's where they may be psychotic or very manic or in a place where they're just not making good decisions. Those people can also be put on a mental hold. Well, today's Statesman article, it says that Canyon County had 123 involuntary mental hold cases in July, a monthly record by history. And from my perspective, I've been practicing in Boise since 1990, so I've watched the population grow, I've watched the demand for services grow, but I do think that the hold numbers have really gotten to an epidemic level. I was on call, in fact, this past weekend at one of the biggest, actually the biggest hospital in the state, the private psych hospital, and I admitted 27 people over 3 days. For me, that's almost a personal record. The reason I bring this up is that the need is great in the community, the demand is growing, but also I don't think that people access care and treatment early enough. If some of these people that came in the hospital this weekend had gotten the right treatment early on, they probably wouldn't have ended up in the hospital. They probably could stay out of the hospital and be treated in an office. And that's the big thing I promote, is to get early treatment, identify things early, recognize things early. If you have a family member that struggles with any sort of oddities or depression or concerns, get them help as early as possible. It's actually less expensive by far. Once we wait for people to get ill and they don't get treatment right away, it's very expensive to have people come into a hospital or into the jail system. That happens as well. People that get mind altered through depression or psychosis or mania, they don't make good decisions, and they do things that they later regret. So it's really important that we address these things early. So I noticed that in the Statesman today, thought I would bring it up on my show. Also, anybody out there that has a question for me, go to my website at treasurevalleytms.com. On my radio show link, you can go on there and then you can ask me a question. If you have an experience related to the community or yourself that you want to share, post that in there as well. Maybe I'll bring in my radio show. I'd love to bring people onto the show and share their experiences. Today we're talking a lot about depression. I talk about that a lot on my show. On the next segment, I've got a family coming on my show. I have a mother, a daughter, and a son. And they have a great experience to share with the audience today. It's really exciting to have a whole family. Not the whole family. They have other siblings and other members of the family. But for me, a family come onto the show to talk about their experiences with depression and treatment. In the past, I brought individuals on my show, and I'll continue to do that in future shows. I want to talk a little bit about why it's so important to treat depression. The end game really is that we all want to be happy. We all want to be happy. That's something that we all strive for. We have movies and books and songs that depict people striving for happiness and struggling in life to get to a place where they get the prize, which is being happy. And people will pay almost any price to get happy. Ultimately, they really want to. They take vacations, they work on relationships and on getting themselves educated and earning money, and they do anything they can to be happy. Well, depression really is the opposite of being happy. So that's why understanding depression, treating depression is really important. I've talked a lot about the symptoms of depression and talked about that on my show, talked about that on today's show. But there are a lot of people out there that have all these remedies for depression. There's philosophers and religious beliefs and all kinds of things that you're going to hear. If you're depressed yourself, you'll probably have well-meaning people come up to you and tell you things that have helped them be happy and not depressed. And that's sometimes those things do work. And I'm not downplaying the importance of that. But in the world of medicine, where people get depressed for long periods of time, we need a little bit more hardcore treatment. I talked earlier about some of the medications that are used. There's now a treatment called transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. I've started doing that for a year and a half now. Since the beginning of this year, I've gone to Deep TMS, which is a second-generation device that treats depression. And it works by stimulating the brain in a particular area of the brain called the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. It's on the left side. And by stimulating that part of the brain, which is in the cortex, which is in the outer layer of the brain, we actually stimulate deeper layers of the brain as well. And it seems to be very effective for depression. And the cool thing about it is we take people who've had decades of depression and have failed every other form of treatment, and they get better, which to me is pretty surprising. So I've talked a lot about that. TMS is actually paid for by insurance, except for a few. In our state, Select Health doesn't pay for it for some reason. It doesn't make any sense to me. Medicaid doesn't pay for it, which doesn't make any sense to me. But every other insurance, including Medicare, pays for it. So it's legit. It's a reasonable treatment. It's also approved by the FDA. In fact, besides depression, we're going to have other indications coming out. Later this year, we're anticipating an indication for obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. So as that becomes more of a reality, I'll be talking a lot more on the show about that. I'll bring patients who've succeeded at it. The research related to that is pretty impressive. Thank you for listening in today. Please stay tuned for this last segment. I've got a family coming on my show that I really am happy they came on the show and share their experiences. I think you really like
welcome
to
welcome back to my show. This is Dr. David Kent.
So this is my tuned weekly show every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Today I've got special guests on my show. I've introduced them in the prior segment. I've got Ty, Patty, and Janelle. They're a family. This is exciting for me today to have a family on my show. They've agreed to come on here today and kind of talk with me a little bit about their experience. All of them in this family have experienced a lot of problems with depression. All three of these guests today have gone through depression. Patty is the mother. Janelle and Ty are the daughter and son. And they have other family members, of course, not of course, but who also suffer from depression as well. So, in fact, depression is very extensive in their family. So they've agreed to come on today and kind of talk a little bit about their experience. And the first thing I want to ask them about a little bit, I'll start with Patty. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you – are you a stay-at-home mom? Or you
yes, work? I'm a stay-at-home. I take care of my one granddaughter while I'm home. And what else?
So how many children do you have?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have four children and a husband. And we have – I take care of – I volunteer for Animals in Distress. Get a little plug in there.
No. Okay, cool.
I help take care of the squirrels. We rehab animals.
Oh, cool.
In the Boise Valley. And that brings a lot of joy to me. I haven't been able to enjoy it as much, but I do now.
My listeners don't know this, but I'm a secret squirrel lover.
Oh, you are?
I grew up near a huge city park, and as a little boy, I guess we're just lonely enough to really like squirrels. I don't know what it was, but... That's cool. So you have four children. Janelle, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay.
Going to school right now and working. That's pretty much it right now.
Okay. And Ty, how old are you?
I'm 18.
18.
I do a lot of artistic work.
Okay. So you're an artist. So let me come back to Patty. Patty's the mother, and she's on my show today. Let's ask you a little bit about your depression. What's it like for you in the past to be depressed?
Well, you know, I really don't remember not being depressed. All my life I've been depressed. And when I was in grade school and high school, and it's just kind of progressively gotten worse. And I didn't realize how bad it had been until now. But... it really got bad after I had my third child. I got a severe postpartum depression, and I was very suicidal at the time. And then I got medication, and but it seems like none of the medications really worked for me. They'd help a little bit. They all helped a little bit, but nothing really took me out of my depression.
Okay. So let me kind of have you describe a little bit not only your mood, but being depressed, but also what else came with the depression. Did you have low energy?
Oh my gosh, I had low energy. You couldn't sleep. I couldn't function. I cried a lot. I was always very negative about myself, and I always thought people were against me. You know, that I was not good enough.
Did you have feelings of worthlessness?
Oh, yeah.
Guilt?
Worthlessness, guilt. I had a lot of guilt. And I think one of the worst things was the guilt, because it would make me do things that weren't good, you know. You know, when you don't feel good about yourself, it's hard to be a good mother when you don't feel good about yourself.
So maybe your decision-making wasn't as good as it could have been.
Exactly, your decision-making. And you're always looking for other people's approval, but you never seem to get it because, you know, you just never seem to get it, the way you're feeling and everything. And it's hard to be a good wife and a good mother.
So you feel guilty about that.
You feel guilty, and then your guilt leads you to thinking of things of maybe you're not, why are you here? You know, what's the purpose of even being here on this earth, even though, because you're so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You're so miserable. And people will say, well, why don't you just, you know, think happy thoughts or you can get over it. But, you know, you can't. It's just not that way. You just can't pull yourself out of it when you're that bad.
A lot of well-meaning people want to help you, but don't realize how sort of medical and chemical and entrenched it is.
And that's the biggest thing, I think, is when they find out you're taking medication or that you're thinking of taking medication or something, you know, and they act different around you sometimes because they think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You are crazy, but, you know, and not...
At least you feel that way.
Yeah, you feel like you're crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I explain to people what depression is, it's my idea what hell would be. That's what hell would be, is being that way forever.
Forever.
And never being able to bring yourself out of it.
Never get out of it. Well, let me turn the mic over to Janelle and kind of ask her experience about depression and kind of tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you and what you went through and how you felt.
Yeah, so I started noticing depression about when I was 15 or 16. And I had it, I just slept all the time. And I was in school, and so I had a lot of friend drama at that time. I think every junior high and high schooler does. But it was pretty hard. I went through several medications. None of them seemed to work. I ended up putting myself in the hospital because of suicidal thoughts. And after a while, I felt I was able to work through it at some point, and I went a couple years without medication, but it kept coming back for me. So mine wasn't as constant, I think, as my mom's or the other family members. I've been able to work through it, but as I've gotten older, I've noticed it's been coming back more and more, and I haven't been able to work through it as much as I could. And so lately, the last year or two, it's been really bad, and I haven't had the sleeping as much, but I felt the not being worthy. I was so anxious about what everyone thought of me. I was very self-conscious of that, and there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't have thoughts of suicide, death. I mean, in my heart, I know I would never do anything to myself, but I think those kind of thoughts weigh on a person, and they weigh you down, and they eat at you, and it just makes it worse. And people would say to you, know, you can control it. Therapy, you can work it through with therapy and medication. I've tried those things, and talking about it, yes, it helps express those things, but it never took it away for me. So.
And I'm assuming it affected relationships in a negative way.
Yeah, it's, you know... there's always the family members and friends who stick beside you, but there's a lot of people who I think didn't stick around because it's hard being close to someone with depression, you know, especially if you don't understand it. And then I have anxiety on top of that. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't blame them, but it's hard to stick around if you don't get it.
But socially, I bet you, with people you don't know very well, it's probably difficult.
Yeah. When I was younger, you know, my dad always commented, you know, I make friends easily, but as lately, it's hard for me to get out of my shell to talk to people because I instantly think that I'm not good enough. And, you know, why would they want to talk to me? Kind of thing.
Okay. Let me turn over to your younger brother, Ty.
Hi.
And kind of ask your experience with depression. What's that been like for you?
It was considered just felt like a part of me because of just how bad it was. And after this TMS, it's been taking adjustments, like, mentally, because the whole life I just wanted to kill myself, just overdose and die, I've had problems with that before.
So you're, how old again, let's remind the listeners how old you are?
18.
18. So how old were you when you first started maybe noticing depression or realizing you might be depressed? What age were you?
12.
Okay.
When did I first start taking meds?
When you were about 13, but he's always felt, he's always been a little depressed, but it really, when he turned 13, you know, it just really accelerated.
Every time I tried a medication, they would just make things worse and never helped. And then the more medications I tried, the worse my condition, like I'd get to the point, like it was just unbearable.
Well, it sounds like you lived with suicidal thoughts for a long time.
Yes.
That must be total misery to think that your only option is to end your life.
And an action, too.
And actions?
Yeah, overdose six times.
You did try six times?
Six times I've overdosed.
Wow.
Well, he's cut himself. He's cut himself. He's done. He self-injures.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't been happy for a long time. Mm-hmm. Coming up into the situation currently, which we'll get into that treatment. But I kind of want to just get a flavor for the listeners to hear what you went through, and each family member's gone through this, but everyone a little differently. In your case, you know, you definitely started young like your sister, but maybe even younger. And you've actually tried to hurt yourself multiple times.
Yes, a lot of it is the panic disorder, because my fight or flight responses are just completely off. And my sense of, like, when something happens, I just immediately go to, like, thoughts of suicide. Something bad happens, I immediately start thinking just...
That's your go-to.
Yeah.
That's what you go to in your mind. Has it affected friendships and relationships in school and things like that?
I dropped out of school because of my panics, and it has affected some relationships, but I don't like it to me. I just try to keep moving on now.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, everybody. You guys have your own story, but it's similar. You have a similar thread. Depression is really a devastating illness. So we're going to come back in a minute. We'll talk some more. We're going to talk about more what this family's gone through and kind of what's been helping them and what's helped them get to a place where they're in a better shape.
Welcome
now.
Back to my show. So this is Dr. David Kent. I'm a local area psychiatrist in Boise. I've been practicing here since 1990. I've been doing my weekly show every Sunday morning at 9 in the morning. You can also visit my website at treasurevalleytms.com. I have a lot of information about myself, about the various treatments that I have. Also, I have information about various mental illness categories and various links. So please visit that site. You can post questions to me on that site if you have any questions. You can also share your experiences, and I can potentially bring them onto my show. Today I have a special set of guests here. It's a family. First time I've had a family into my show. I've had lots of individuals come on my show and various guests come along the way. Today I have a family. I've got Patty, who's the mother, Janelle, who's the older sister, and Ty, who's the son, who's age 18, and Janelle's age 33. And they're on the show, and they've consented to come on today and share their experience with depression and what they've been through and sort of what's been helpful. And a lot of my previous shows, I've talked about TMS or deep TMS, and that stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's a new form of treatment for depression, especially new to Boise. I've been doing it for about a year and a half, but I've gone to a newer device called a BrainsWay deep TMS, and I consider it a second generation device for treating depression. And I've been doing that for about 5 months now. So this family has came to me, and I want to ask them, because I sometimes forget how people find me. Patty, how did you guys find me?
Well, as Ty said, he has gone through, I think, every medicine there was, and without any success, and his doctor recommended the TMS. And we had originally found another place, but then my husband located you and contacted you, and we went from there. That's how we found it.
Okay. So kind of word of mouth, your doctor sort of suggested TMS in general.
Yeah.
And then you kind of did some homework and found me.
Found you. You sounded like the best one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Let me come back to this now. So we talked about your depression. Each one of you explained your experience, what you've been through with depression. All have had similar but different experiences, and some, and all have had severe, really severe depression, really refractory depression, depression that hasn't responded well to medications, maybe partially but not fully, not so much to psychotherapy, but it was helpful. In Ty's case, he got to the place where he's just really hopeless and has tried to take his life multiple times. So as a family, that must be difficult, not only just for yourself, but to have other family members who are struggling as well. Tell me a little bit about the family dynamics with that, what that was like during the depression phase of all
this. Oh, my gosh, it was a nightmare, especially with Ty. It's been so hard to watch your loved ones that, and you know how they're feeling. I mean, to a degree, you know it because you, maybe that's the only good thing that came out of my depression is I was able to recognize their depression. And it's been very hard on our family to see him suffer. It's, my husband and I have been at a loss so many times on what to do. We've been really hopeless, and that's really been hard on my depression to know that there's nothing out there and what kind of life is he going to have. Here he is, 18. My daughter, you know, they're suffering, and you want your kids to succeed in life. And like with Ty, when he's so young and he can't do anything, he's in his room all the time. I mean, he was literally in his room all the time. That was, he never ate dinner with us or anything. And it was just really hard. It's just really hard as a parent.
I feel that, the way you explain that. That really must be difficult.
Uh-huh.
What about you, Janelle? How was it like having a family with pretty much almost everybody struggling with depression?
Well, I think it was interesting. It was hard because there was my brother going through it, and I knew that my mom and had gone through it too. And just seeing how hard it was for my parents to try to help Ty. And then Ty, you know, we understand you can't sit there and tell someone, well, just snap out of it, you know, just stop having those feelings. So we knew we couldn't say that to Ty, but we didn't know how to help. So having both those sides kind of being in the middle of it a little bit, it was difficult to see. And then when I went away back to school, you know, knowing that they were at home, not knowing how they were dealing with it was difficult as well.
Ty, you're kind of the center of attention here for a second. Sounds like you really went through it. It really affected the family. But how was the family dynamics with depression being in your household? How was it for you? Did you feel like there was a little more empathy from your family because they understood you better?
Yes, it felt like it was a lot easier to express how I felt because they knew what I was going through and not as if you were talking to someone who didn't know it all.
Okay, sounds good. Well, let's come back to this other thing. Now, you found me because I do deep TMS, which is this transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's an FDA-approved treatment for depression. And I kind of fell into it myself, kind of heard about it, decided to start doing it, and changed over this new device, this BrainsWay Deep TMS, which I've been doing since March, or a little bit earlier than that, but really since March I've been doing it. And then you got into the mix of it. And Ty was the first one to receive TMS. You want to tell us, the listeners, a little bit about how that's been, how the Deep TMS has been for you, and how things have changed?
At first, it was it made me just really tired, but then after a few sessions, I noticed things were immediately starting to get better. Well, after the first session, I knew I felt better, but it was very confusing to switch from that hopeless state to a little hope, and then it was just a big thing to comprehend. And then it progressively just kept getting better and better, and I felt like I was reacting better to the TMS.
Okay. So you reacted better to it. Prior to TMS, you sounded very hopeless, withdrawn in your room, dropping out of school. Just really life was going in the wrong direction. How's your life doing now?
I got my GED, which is good. It's going better. I've been trying to do more art because I stopped for a few years because of the depression, but it's been able to work at it more, and hopefully I can get a career in graphic design or something interesting.
So it sounds like your outlook has gotten better.
Yes.
That you're now planning to do things and having a future for yourself.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's feels a lot better.
Yeah.
So much better.
We move on to your sister Janelle and ask her. She's also came into receiving Deep TMS, I think in part because Ty was doing better, and she actually came into some of the sessions, I think, when he got treatment. So tell us about your experience.
I did, yeah. So my mom told me, I was away, like I said, at college, and my mom told me that Ty was going to be doing this, and they were all very excited, and I was excited for them. And so after he had his first treatment, I called my mom, like, how did it go? And she told me he's like a completely new person. And I was excited to see that because I've just seen what he's gone through and everything. And so when I came home for the break, I got to see. And he has a different, like, spirit about him. Just you can recognize that. He comes up more out of his room. He's just laughing more. He's happy. And, you know, we all still have those bad days, but that's, you know, that's a natural part of being human. But it was great to see that. And so my mom, she was like, Janelle, I'm getting you in this. I was like, all right, let's do this, you know. Because I haven't been on medication for a while because it didn't work for me. And so I didn't want to do it because there were so many bad side effects. So I said, okay, let's try it. And came in, and the first session I got done, I noticed a difference with it. Again, there's a tired part, but I think that's just part of it. And the second session, like I had said previously, every day I had some kind of thought of death or suicide. After the first and second session, I hadn't had any of those thoughts, and I haven't had any since. And that is huge, because to not have those, that definitely takes a weight off of your shoulders. And then also to not feel depressed at all. I mean, it was kind of like an overnight thing. And that's just, with medication, it's not overnight. And so I'm not used to that as well. So like Ty said, it was kind of weird getting used to everything. And just to feel like yourself, but you don't know who yourself is. I don't know if that makes sense. But
it makes sense to me because I've had a lot of guests on this show who've had lifelong depression, and they don't really know who they are because uh-huh. they're so used to living with depression. Mm-hmm. So now you're figuring out peeling that all out of the way, and the real person kind of comes out, and it's like coming out of a cocoon, basically.
Yeah, it definitely gives you more confidence.
Yeah. So. Well, that's very noticeable. I've seen all of you change that way. Now, let's come back to your mom, to Patty. Now, this remind the listeners, this is Dr. David Kent. This is my weekly show. It comes on every Sunday. I focus a lot on depression and mental health issues. Today we're talking with a family who's all suffered from depression. So, Patty, you've undergone deep TMS yourself. Tell me about your experience with that.
It's wonderful. In one word, it's wonderful. It's like day and night. I was telling my husband just the other night, I cannot remember in my whole life feeling this good. I can't remember it. I look forward to the day. I enjoy everything. I don't have bad thoughts of negative thoughts. And when I'm around people with negative thoughts, I don't want to be around people with negative thoughts. No, but it's just really, and you know, I noticed it from the very first treatment, and it's just been getting better and better and better. And I guess I hope my bubble doesn't burst, but but it's just, I've just, it's a miracle. It really is. And I can't, I can't express enough. If I cry, it's because I'm happy. But it's all good, okay.
It's okay.
It's okay because it really is. It's been like a miracle in our house. And I have some other children that I want them to get it done too. Because it does. It's just a whole new outlook on life. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful to have found you. And I just, if there's anything I could encourage anybody to do, to look into it at least look into it. Because it's wonderful.
Now you're going to make me cry.
Well, I've never felt, I've just really never have felt this happy in my whole life. Ever. So thank you.
Well, you make my day, I tell you. Totally make my day. Coming in every day to the office and seeing you, your family is really cool. The whole family getting well. I mean, that's yeah. pretty amazing. And so I was really crossing my fingers that would be the case, and it was.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so was I.
You know? One thing that's good news is that all the research points to if you respond to TMS, you'll always respond to TMS.
Really? Oh, that's one of my questions.
That's what I heard
that's
the last
awesome.
Meeting, the last couple of meetings I've been to, they basically confirm that if you respond to TMS, you're going to always respond. So that's the good news is you don't have to live your life depressed. You may have to revisit TMS sometimes. We don't know. Some people go on long-term remission. Some mm-hmm. relapse sooner than others, but some people go for a few years without any relapse and without any symptoms. And the amazing thing is you can do that without medications.
And I'm almost all my medication, which I keep thinking as I go down, okay, is it going to start coming back? But I just keep getting feeling better.
I recently just stopped taking my antidepressants completely, and I feel even better than I was when I was on the antidepressants. Antidepressants didn't help at all. But now I feel like 100 times better, like a new person.
That's awesome. You know, I'm not anti-medicine because I prescribe them myself in my practice, but for those people that are qualified for TMS, you can be medication-free, and I think that's amazing because...
I was just going to say that, you know, if it wasn't for medication, I probably wouldn't be here, you know, because it did help. It helps to a degree, and it helps, you know, it helps to a degree.
Right.
But just not this much that I've
but
never
this is this is an option for people who don't want to be on medicine or have side effects of medicine or don't respond to medicine. It's a fantastic option to be basically medication-free and free of your depression. That's pretty exciting. That's the thing that gets me up every day excited. I've never had this level of excitement in my practice since I've been in practice because I get to use a new tool. It's non-systemic, meaning we only affect a very localized part of your brain. And research shows the more TMS treatments you receive, the better. It's better for the brain because it stimulates the brain tissue.
Wow.
Well, I really appreciate having your family on the show today. It's been really awesome. So thank you. Any last words from anybody?
No, we all recommend it.
That's we all recommend it, yes.
If you've suffered from depression, addiction, anxiety, any mental disorder or anything, you're not alone.
Thank you, Ty, for that. And that's what this show is about, is letting people know and reach out there that you're not alone out there. That's a common mm-hmm. thing. So this is the end of this week's show. Tune in next week. I'll have further guests on my show and more experiences as well as more information about mental illness, about depression, and other things. So thank you for tuning in.